In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Gospel today from St. Luke for the Feast of Our Lady's Assumption and details our Lord's encounter with Martha and Mary. Mary, who sits at the Lord's feet, Martha, who is busy about many things. The Lord tells Martha, indeed, that she needs to not be troubled by the many things that she must attend to. Rather, she must, as Mary does, choose the better portion, and that is to be in the presence of the Lord. This may seem to be a strange gospel to be chosen for a feast related to our Blessed Mother, but in truth it makes perfect sense. For Our Lady's Assumption is a culmination of the graces and privileges bestowed upon the one who, like Mary, stood, sat, was in the presence of the Lord, and gave herself over to him completely and totally. This is indeed what is required of all of us. But before we can turn our attention to that which we should take away from this feast, it is an opportunity for us to pause for just a moment and to reflect upon indeed what it is that has happened to our Blessed Mother. At the beginning of the Apostolic Constitution that promulgated and defined the dogma of Our Lady's Assumption, Pius XII wrote the following: "The most bountiful God, who is almighty, the plan of whose providence rests upon wisdom and love, tempers, in the secret purpose of his own mind, the sorrows of peoples and of individual men by means of joys that he interposes in their lives from time to time in such a way, under different conditions, and in different ways, all things may work together unto good for those who love him." It is in this context, this God who does indeed provide for the joys of men and interposes them in times most especially of difficulty. He is bountiful, he is almighty, and all that is rests upon his providence, which is built on a foundation of wisdom and of love. This is the context of Our Lady's Assumption. This was an already held understanding of Our Lady, one of the privileges that she enjoyed. And for many it seems strange, maybe incongruous, and maybe even to a certain degree a reaching beyond his authority for Pius XII as the Supreme Pontiff to define as dogma of the Church. But he does so recognizing a perennial truth, that after having received the glories of her own immaculate conception, which prepared her for her divine maternity, she was then properly situated to receive, at the end of her own pilgrim journey on earth, the fullness of glory that comes in her assumption into heaven. Our Lady is assumed, the Pope writes, body and soul into heaven, without having suffered the corruption or the stain of original sin. Of course, this again makes perfect sense. After all, she was born without the stain of original sin, and therefore would not have suffered any of those realities attached, most especially corruption. She was perfect throughout, obedient throughout, loving throughout, giving herself completely and totally into the hands of God. But then it also does provide for us an opportunity to contemplate the glories of heaven and to realize, as she herself realized, that the pilgrim journey is not complete here on earth. She, after all, was privileged to witness from the very beginning the culmination of salvation history that comes in the mystery of her Son. At the Annunciation, receiving the good news that she'd been chosen to be a perfect and worthy vessel for the Word made flesh, being present to the voices of the angels who are attesting that indeed he is the Son of God, giving glory to our Heavenly Father for the gift of his Son. The wisdom that comes from age, manifested by Simeon and Anna the prophetess, who recognize the child in her arms as the fulfillment of the promises that God had made to Abraham. From the Magi who came from the east to adore, following a star, following providence, prompted indeed by God himself to come and to give gifts that are fitting to a king who lays in poverty and simplicity. Of course, he also is there at the manifestation of his wisdom and erudition in the temple as he engages those with whom he finds himself preaching and proclaiming truth. Those who should have known now come to a deeper and better understanding. She is present at the wedding feast at Cana, instrumental in allowing the Lord to manifest the first of the seven signs that would be present in John's Gospel, giving a clear indication that indeed he is the Messiah, the one who has come into the world to bring light and to dispel darkness. She stands beautifully, prominently at the foot of the cross and receives a new mission to care for the members of this church that the Lord creates from his side, from which blood and water beautifully flow. And so after having done all this, likewise being present with the disciples in the upper room, preparing them for the reception of the Holy Spirit, preparing them in a true sense to be the priests that God had created them and ordained them to be at the Last Supper. She, after all, is the only one outside of a priest who knows what it means to truly say, "This is my body and this is my blood," to offer in sacrifice the Lord himself, which indeed what she did as she journeyed with him during the cross, the carrying of his cross, and of course was with him at the foot of that cross. When all of this was complete and all of this was done, she then rightfully takes her place as queen of heaven and earth. And by the power and grace and love of God and in his joyful providence, in his great love and his wisdom, he brings Our Lady home, that she may take her place seated in adoration of the Most Holy Trinity, continuing from her place as Queen of Heaven to also be Queen of Earth. She who is the Mother of God now becomes the Mother of the Faithful. And the privileges that she has received because of the abundance and the fullness of grace bestowed upon her are likewise opportunities into which we are all drawn as well. While certainly we cannot be the Mother of God, that is a unique privilege that belongs specifically to her, we can, through the same graces that she herself fully received, live in such a way that, like her, we can become worthy tabernacles of the Word made flesh, who we receive Sunday after Sunday, and for many of us, day after day. So too, through the graces she received, like Our Lady, we can journey with our Lord, most especially remaining steadfast and courageous at the foot of the crosses that we are asked to bear. And we can do all of this as she herself did, because we love God completely and totally. And as her Magnificat beautifully proclaims, our souls proclaim the greatness of the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God, who is our Savior. This is how one is able to do whatever it is that we are commanded to do, and then in the fullness of time, take our place in the kingdom that God has so joyfully, willingly prepared for each of us. This is not an easy task for us, but in truth it was not an easy task for Our Lady as well. The many sorrows that she endured clearly give indication that her journey, like ours, was fraught with peril at times. The difference being her response to the peril that she encountered was never to doubt, always to trust, never to despair, but always to have hope, to embrace whatever sorrow or suffering she was asked to endure, and to temper that with a confidence and a fidelity to the power and the wisdom of God. She did not need to know the plan, to know the fullness of the plan. She did not need to have human understanding to accept and embrace the wisdom of God. And so, brothers and sisters, it must be for us as well. The glories of heaven indeed await us, and our citizenship is not complete here on earth. Of course, this does not mean we hasten to heaven. We live the life that God enjoins us to live. We journey as God intends us to journey. But when the time comes, without fear, without despair, but with great hope and confidence, we meet our end, knowing that in truth it is merely a passage to the fullness of life that God wishes to bestow upon us. In a world that only values itself, a world that sadly values life even less. A proclamation of the fullness of life, body and soul assumed into glory, is necessary and fitting for a world that continues to despair and to doubt. But as always is the case, it must begin with each of us, living as men and women in joyful anticipation of the glories that await us, and recognizing that in order to participate in those glories that await us, we must work in this life diligently with the manifold blessings and graces that God has bestowed upon us. Our Lady is waiting for us in heaven. Our Mother continues to reach out to us to nourish and sustain us as her children. Let us always and constantly call upon our Blessed Mother as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, treasure that God bestows upon us in order to draw us more completely unto Himself. Let us choose the better portion and remain always at the feet of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.